That Svetch goal did feel like he was trying to tell somebody something. I don't know who, but the message was something along the lines of, I'm just fine. Watch what I can do. Scored about, 2.5 seconds into the game? Felt like it. The Canes got two wins over the weekend against Washington, a team they might see in the playoffs, and Columbus, a team that nobody will see in the playoffs.
God, no.
And
see
after
the golf course.
There you go. Cabo, fishing. And after the Thursday loss to Boston, felt back on track-ish, right? Felt like there was a bit of, hey, let's make sure we take care of business. 4-2 win over Washington Friday, 3-0 win over Columbus on Sunday. Two very good, very run-of-the-mill victories for a top team in the league. Yeah, Gensel played well versus Washington. Guess what? He's a good player. Good players play well. So did Aho. So did a few others. Right? This is, for better or worse, right, where I've stood for as long as I can remember and will continue to stand, you can't prove anything to me in the regular season. Right? It all comes down to what you do in the postseason. So the only things that matter about those two games they played over the weekend, the only things that matter about that Thursday game against Boston, the only things that matter about these upcoming four road games to end their season is this. What carries over to the postseason? What changes the way you play in the postseason? What makes a decision easier for you in the postseason? Right? Sometimes you, like the goalie situation. We've been talking about it. Oh, how far we've come, right? Before the trade deadline, there was maybe some talk even coming from people that might currently be speaking to you right now on your radio saying to go trade for a goalie.
Yeah.
Which, looking back, Don Waddell, touche. You made a better decision than I would have made. But it also has come down to, is it Piotr or Freddie? Is it Piotr Kochetkov, who for much of the season has been your number one guy because Freddie wasn't around? Or is it Freddie, who is coming back off the blood clotting issue and is playing really, really well? I think what they wanted was sometime over the last few games into the next few, somebody to grab the job from the other, kind of bull by the horn style, and say, I'll be darned if you're taking me out of the net. And it seems like that's what Freddie's been doing. Three out of his last seven games have been shutouts. I don't care who they are against. If you hold NHL teams to zero goals, you're going to get my attention. And if you're doing it at 3 out of 7 clip, you're going to hold my attention and you're going to earn your spot in that net.
Since March 7th, his return, so we're looking at a month here, 8-1-0, 954 save percentage, goals against 1-2-2, and like you said, 3 shutouts.
And that's with us building in the, he could be rusty for a couple starts.
Yeah.
Like that's not starting after he hit his stride. That's starting from the jump, right? That's starting right from the moment he came back from the blood clotting issue. Here's Rod Brindamore on Freddie.
I mean, he did make some saves, obviously. We had a bunch of almost, they didn't convert on, but he's just, like you said, I think, he's been real solid since he's come back, and he studies it. Like, he's just very calm back there, and I think that certainly helps.
So let's talk about this in the framework that I was discussing earlier. What can you take from it into the postseason? I think what you take from it is Piotr Kochetkov is one of the best number two goalies in the postseason. And it's now clear. And it's if Piotr wants to be mad about it, he could, like, there are stats. You know what I love about, like, track or wrestling or swimming, right? If you go to the coach and you're like, I want to be the 200 individual medley swimmer, it's like, perfect. At practice tomorrow, you'll go up against our number one at the 200 individual medley, and if you win, we can have that conversation. If you don't, sorry, right? I like, wrestling is notorious, right? The night before a meet, you can wrestle off for your weight class, and it's like, great. You can settle it. Goalie is kind of similar, right? I want to be the number one goalie. It's like, yeah, well, if you look at it since he came back 1-for-1, he's played better than you. Now, there, it's a team sport, so all the defense was playing better in front of him. Oh, he got the easier draw. Yeah, but I think we can all go by eye test. I think we can all go by the numbers. I think we can all go by multiple different evaluation techniques. It's Freddie's net.
It's not a knock on Piotr either.
No.
He's been playing great too.
Again, like I said, best number two. He's number two though. And I think it's obvious, and I think that's important, right? There's the whole cliche with quarterbacks. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. What you really just need is somebody to grab the job and say, it's mine. And I believe Freddie did that. Now, here's the other part. Freddie does get hurt, right? Knock on wood, throw salt over your shoulder, say whatever you need to say, whatever your superstitions are. So Piotr is very important. Kochetkov is very important. But I think you're more confident with Freddie in net for a must-win game in the postseason. And guess what? Every game is a must-win game in the postseason. We're close to it. Freddie's locked in. He's the guy. And now you have four games on the road to get your guy ready, your backup guy ready, and maybe even you throw a start or a third period or something to Spencer Martin just to make sure he's in a little bit of rhythm.
I would not be surprised when the last game of the season rolls around next week. They're at Columbus, like it's Tuesday. And if the Canes' position is set, I wouldn't be surprised if Spencer Martin starts that game just to make sure Freddie and or Piotr don't get hurt.
It's fair.
Yeah.
It is fair, but
because as well is that if one of those guys does get hurt, Spencer Martin's going to be dressing. And you want to make sure that he doesn't go, you know, 2.5 months between starts.
Yeah, except he does strike me as one of those guys.
True, but still.
I mean, if he's making starts, it's...
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You look at that first line and you say, can you give me 4.5 goals today? we're going to need to get, you know, it's run support, right? When you got a pitcher out there that's a little chaotic, you look at your hitters and go, we might have to score 10. So at least you're aware, right? Swing for the fences. The Canes have four road games to get it together. It's crunch time. They're measured by the postseason, four games, all on the road. Then the postseason gets started, and we know that they will be starting at home. I like the placement of four straight road games to end the season. It's kind of like a training camp, right? It's kind of like going away for a final tune-up. I don't hate this move at all. I think if you were in a race where you needed to win like three or last four to make the postseason, I think you'd be a little upset about it. But you'd want that energy behind you. But I kind of like get away from the home distractions, get away from the responsibilities you have at home. This is the final week of rehearsal before you go live. Right? Nothing matters except for the stuff that contributes to the postseason. Go on the road. Go on a quote-unquote business trip. Right? Figure it out. Get your players playing absolutely as well as they possibly can. And I think a good sign was Andrei Svechnikov getting a quick goal to start a game after missing a game, because he's somebody. Do I think the Canes are very good even if he's not playing his best? Yes. Do I think they could probably win the first, maybe the second round without Andrei Svechnikov playing his best? Sure. I think to win a Stanley Cup, you're going to need one of your most talented players to start playing like he's capable of playing. And that's where this next four games can come into play. Here's Rod Brind'Amour on Svech's confidence kind of growing throughout the most recent game.
I thought he was good. He's played well. You wanted to be that, what he did tonight, have a difference in the game in a positive manner. He certainly did.
I want him to impact the game in a positive manner. I want him to put people into the boards and score goals. Like I don't want it to just be like, oh, he had a general, you know, positive impact on the game. I want him to be one of the highest paid players on the roster. And he's in an interesting position because the top line is what the top line is. And that is really good, right? Gensel, Aho, Jarvis, I don't think you mess with it. I don't know why you would. It's really good. Svech playing at an elite level on one of the other three lines just gives you like that's that second punch, right? That's that, oh, you guys are having an off day, we'll pick you up. That gives you another elite option. So it is important to get Svech rolling. It is important to find out who he's playing best with right now. In a lot of ways, it's important to figure out there's a lot of versatility on all these lineups, all these lines, I should say. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like, oh, you know what? Kuzi can play with anybody. Oh, you know what? Svech can fit in where he fits in. oh, you know what? All of these guys, they have such high hockey IQs that they can, you know, you can mix them up. You can mix and shuffle, which is nice. Don't get me wrong. I like high IQ hockey players. But at the same time, you know, you want a home base, right? You want to know, like, hey, us three are playing alongside each other, barring something happening, borrowing Rod thinking he needs to shake things up. I think that can be what these next four games are for. On the road, playing different games, figuring out who plays alongside who to start the postseason. Where would you play Svech? Are you throwing him with the old guys?
You talking about Martinook and Staal?
Yep.
Probably.
Yeah.
In all honesty, because Staal and Martinook are so good defensively that you can make up for some of the deficiencies that Andre has. Because we've seen, and even the advanced numbers show it, when Svechnikov is skating alongside Kuznetsov and Natchez, defensively, not very good. They give up a ton of scoring chances.
That becomes a real roller coaster of a line. Which is like either they're going to score two goals or they're going to give up
three.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to give up four.
It's too much of a liability. There's too much volatility there, as they like to say. But when you have Teuvo Teräväinen alongside Natchez and Kuznetsov, things are like even because Teräväinen is good defensively. So things like level out in terms of chances for and chances against. When Svechnikov is with Staal and with Martinook, obviously, those two guys are so good defensively alongside Svechnikov that it allows him to be a little bit more open. There's also the possibility, if you need to have a lockdown line, that you put Jesper Foss with Staal and Martinook, and then Svechnikov skates alongside Nation and Drury, and they, that quote-unquote, air quotes, fourth line that we like to say, are going to match up against other teams' fourth lines. And guess what? Svech should feast on that. But you can also double shift Svechnikov. Make sure I didn't break any rules there.
Seashells
by the seashore. But if for example, you can always double shift him. If in the offensive zone, it's the Staal line, like it's Staal with Martinook and Fast, you could put Svechnikov out there on the ice in place of Jesper Fast. Or depending on the situation, obviously he's going to get a ton of power play time. You can find ways to give him extra minutes. So there's a little bit of flexibility when it comes to their lineup. But right now, what I tell you doesn't work, it's Svechnikov, Kuznetsov, and Nate just because of their defensive liability.
So if I'm hearing this right, and I'm trying to do math, you know, imagine the depth chart in my brain. Fast, Drury, Nason?
As of right now, yes. Basically the lineup we saw yesterday.
Which wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I think the yesterday / starting tomorrow, I do think it's time to you play him and you just play him. You know what I mean? You don't – the shuffling and everything is nice, and it's nice to know you can. But I want everybody in rhythm. I want everybody with the nonverbal communication going into the postseason. So if I'm Rod, I'm picking the four lines that I like, right? And maybe, as you're saying, you can shift like within a game a little bit here if you want to you know, just get them used to, hey, Svech, you might be playing some shifts with these guys. But other than that, I want the four lines that I'm going to roll out there the first night of the postseason to be playing with each other for the next four games until you know, give guys a night off if they're older and their legs are tired, whatever. You can always throw Kotkaniemi back in the lineup for a night. But I do think it's time to, you know, decide who you're going with and decide who they're playing with. And it's time to start ironing out the wrinkles, right? Call in the lines. Say, hey, you comfortable with these two? All right. That's how you're going to help us win a cup, is alongside these two individuals, you know, for the meat and potatoes of a game. Are we going to call on you, right, the power play, and we're going to call on you for specific situations? We might want to, you know, get our grinders out there. Sure. But for the meat and potatoes, for the main course, this is what we're looking at. Look to your left and your right. Get real comfortable with those guys because it's going to be high leverage ice time, and you're going to be playing with them.
The only thing that's really solid right now, my opinion, that top line.
I was going to say two things.
Oh, yeah, the two things. That top line and your defensive pairs.
Three things.
Three. Oh, then Freddie.
Yep, there you go.
Freddie in net. Freddie right now. But, you know, if Kochekov has to step in and be your guy because something happens with Freddie, I have complete confidence in him. But your six defensemen, who they're paired with, lock it. Aho, Gensel, Jarvis, lock it. Everything else, there's still a lot to figure out. even your power play units, which we still got to figure out.
And this is what I was talking about. The versatility is awesome.
It's great.
But at some point, you do have to make a decision, right? Because I think you can tinker to death, right? Mm-hmm. I remember this as a kid. I'm not a very good artist. But I do remember getting to a point where, like, I drew a picture in art class and I like it. But then it's like, all right, I'm just keep shading. All right, yeah, I'm gonna add a little bit. I'm gonna color it, and then I'm gonna keep shading, and then all of a sudden it looks like trash. And I'm like, man, I wish I would have known like it was done, right, and just moved on and let it go start something else. I don't want, because it's like, we could play Nason here. Oh yeah, you know what, Jury's, we could move Jury here, and eventually going like, no, just pick who they're gonna be and then let them get used to it, rather than, all right, yeah, the versatility is nice. Oh, the change is nice. It's so great that they can all play with each other, and it's so great that they can all get along, and they have high IQs, and it's like, that's great to know. Pick whoever you think is best. And guess what? It may be 6-1, half dozen to the other. It may be like Svech could play here or he could play there, and they're both going to be good options. Just pick one and go with it. Be done, stop tinkering, and get it ready for the postseason.
That versatility needs to become continuity.
Exactly. And the versatility stays in your back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Because then in a postseason, if it's like, geez, this line isn't getting it done, feel free to mix it up. But you want that line to have the best possible chance to get it done. You don't want to tinker until you've over-tinkered. Nobody wants to be an over-tinkerer.